Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and continually draw us and form us into the image of the one who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to spend time with the story of Joseph in the book of James. We're going to tell the story about your story. So Joseph, Jesus, you. That's how we're going to approach this. So I told you Abraham, yes, gave birth to Isaac. We talked about a little bit of them last week, whose son was Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 different sons. And the 11th was the favorite, that is Joseph. Jacob spoiled most famously to many of us for that amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Thank you, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, for that great musical. Joseph was also known as a dreamer. He dreamed big dreams, dreams of those 11 brothers bowing down to him, which is pretty annoying when it's your little kid brother saying, hey, you're gonna bow down. You bow down to me. His brothers hated him. They hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. And instead of killing him, they strip him of his robe and throw him into a pit and then eventually sell him for 20 pieces of silver to slave traders headed for Egypt. And then they dip his beautiful robe in animal blood, kill an animal, dip it in blood, make up this story and lie to dad, Jacob, saying that he was in fact dead. So things look bad for him. He gets sold into slavery, then eventually gets works into Potiphar's house. He's one of Pharaoh's big generals, and he gains so much respect working for him and ends up overseeing his whole house. And so things go from, you know, down on the dump of getting sold into slavery, then he's up and things are going well. You think, oh, great, what a good story. He finally got lifted. But no, just when things seem to be going well, he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of attacking her and gets sent to prison. And he suffers innocently for something he didn't do. And now even in prison, Genesis says, but God was with Joseph. And God gives him the ability to interpret dreams. So first there's the baker and the cupbearer who fell out of Pharaoh's good graces. And they have dreams, and then Joseph predicts to them their future, and it comes true. So later when Pharaoh has troubling dreams, they remember it, and Joseph is called on again to interpret those. And he says to Pharaoh, look, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, great harvest, and then after that, 7 years of absolute famine. And then Pharaoh says, well, you're going to be the one to take care of this. So he elevates Joseph to second in command over all of Egypt, the most powerful country in the world at the time. And you think countries have dynasties for 300 years. Egypt was a dynasty for nearly 3,000 years. And he's put in place of all of this to keep people from starving. And then when the famine finally hits and they have all this food stored up, people come to Egypt from all over, including his brothers. They come looking for food, and as they fulfill his dream by bowing before the prince, they don't know it's him, but he sees them and recognizes them. And then it tells us through tears, he calls them and forgives them and tells them it's him. And then they and then Father Jacob all come to Israel, or to Egypt, and live in peace. But the entire time, the brothers were just a little suspicious of Joseph. They think, well, maybe he's being nice to us because out of duty and honor to dad. And so the story we read today was at the very end, chapter 50, last part of Genesis, and the brothers think, uh-oh, dad is gone. Now he's finally going to get us. We're doomed. You know, we've kicked the can down the road for a while. So they make up this story. And that's what Genesis said. They go to Joseph and say, hey, before dad died, you know, he kind of called us aside and said that we should tell you this. And we should tell you that dad really wants you to, you know, forgive us. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that right, Simeon? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Word for word. Dad said, tell Joseph to forgive. And so they're really scared. But then Joseph says some of the most powerful words, I think, in all the Bible. That was the verse 20, where he says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God can redeem anything. And so Joseph's story is very long in Genesis, 14 chapters. It's twice as long as Abraham's. And Abraham's, you know, the patriarch, the father, he should be, but no. Why would Joseph's story be that much longer? It's because, getting to the second part, Joseph's story shows us to recognize Jesus' story. Joseph's story shows us what it's going to be like well over 1,000 years before Jesus lives. You see, Joseph shows us what God is like, how deep God's love is for his people. And when we see Jesus, Jesus' life fulfills Joseph's life. So let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was his father's favorite. But there was no competition. There were other. He was the one and only beloved son. And Jesus was upright, noble, faithful, acting in every way. He was perfect, and yet he was still mistreated. Sadducees, Pharisees, and many others try to trap him constantly, and they plot to kill him, though he had done nothing wrong. And Jesus was eventually arrested and treated like a slave, though he was innocent. And Jesus had his robes stripped off him, and Jesus was sold for pieces of silver by one of his brothers. And through mistreatment and beatings and abuse and all those things, through all of that, including death on a cross, Jesus saved you. Even though he was abandoned by his brothers at his trial and crucifixion. Now back in Genesis, Joseph was in the pit of prison and then was elevated to being the prince of Egypt that he could save people from famine. The other way around with Jesus, Jesus was that king of the whole universe who gave up his crown, gave up his royalty, and descended down into the pit of hell so that he could save you from eternal famine and that he could feed you his body and blood as the spiritual food. Jesus died so that you will eternally live. And so Joseph says to his brothers in Egypt, he says, "You meant all these things for evil against me, but God meant them for good." And Jesus, when he hangs on the cross, what are his words that are nearly the same? He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." You see, people wanted Jesus dead to solve their political problem. But Jesus went to his death to solve your eternal problem that only Jesus can solve. And what so many people meant for evil, that is Jesus crucified, God turned into the highest good possible, forgiveness and hope and eternal life. So those are the intertwined stories of Joseph and Jesus. What about you? What does this have to do with your story and the life that you live? What are these stories? What might they say to us today? I think it has a lot to do with Joseph's words in Genesis 50. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." So how do you handle the tough stuff that happens to you in life? How do you handle the painful parts of life? And how do you handle them with God? Which means you kind of have to ask yourself, well, what are the painful parts of your life? And are there times, you know, like Joseph, where maybe you acted honorably and were treated poorly anyway? How did you respond? What did you tell God? Or do you believe that God is so good that God can redeem anything? God can turn anything out for good. God can turn your pain into healing and then use it to help someone else. God used Jesus' pain and suffering to forgive and to heal you. And God does want to use your life, not just parts of it, but all of your life, your whole story, to reflect God's love to others. So let me ask it a different way. Are there things in your life that you've become bitter over? Are there things that went wrong and you just become cold and bitter? Could be something done to you, or it could be a hurt you caused someone and it never healed. Are there painful memories? Are there sins, or are there hard seasons that you basically think are out of God's reach? You feel like God didn't join you there. Well, Joseph, after everything he went through, looked at his brothers, and it says through tears he wept and he forgave them. And when he could have exacted revenge and when his brothers expected it, he said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God can redeem anything." And that means any memory, any abuse done to you, any loss, any death, any hurt, any harm. God comes near to you in Jesus, bleeds and dies for you, and wants to use not just part of your story, but all of it, pain and all, to show others his love. God redeems your story when the person who was abused as a child grows up to be a lawyer who fights on behalf of abused children and abused spouses. Or God redeems your story when the alcoholic who has ruined or strained many relationships or lost jobs allows her struggle to be used by God to help others. Or it's the prison chaplain who was once in prison himself now wants to minister to people who are just like him. Or it's the mother who carries the pain of a stillborn child with her every single day, finally opens up so that other women might share in God's healing with her. Or recently in our community, Kevin Witte, Holland Christian teacher that died in a freak auto accident. It's terrible. It's tragic. There's nothing good about it. A wife and three children, and we mourn with them and ask God for mercy and strength, and we can say that there's nothing good about that. And yet, God can redeem anything. I don't know how, I don't have to know how or when, but I do know that God even used the tragic death of his beloved son to set free sinners like you and me. And if that's what God can do, God can redeem anything. Now, you don't have to look back into your life and say, "Well, that was painful. Does that mean that was good?" No, you don't have to do that at all. You don't have to say, "Oh God, I'm now glad that I suffered that," or "I'm glad that I lost my loved one," or "I'm glad that I went through that horrific cancer treatment." No, not at all. You can say, "That was evil, that was suffering, that hurt." You can say all of that. But then you can say, because Jesus bled, died, and rose for you, God, you can make all things work for good for those who love you. You can turn death into new life. You can turn struggle into hope. You can turn pain into healing. God can redeem anything. Say it with me now. God can redeem anything. Amen.